Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Happy Saturday morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tanner Dawson of the Whiskey Sports Podcast and the Sports Buffoons. And joined with me, as always, JG of the Sports Buffoons. JG, what's up?
What's up, dudes?
Hey, glad to have you back on here. You missed a week. Pretty entertaining show last week. You missed it out with Botkins there.
Well, Botkins was on there, huh?
Yeah. I don't know if you caught it. He did make you a shout out that he wasn't going to give the hardest takes as the, you know, Steph Curry being the best player from Akron. So just so you know, he missed that in there. So.
Well, we're going to stay away from that at least for another 4 to 6 weeks until we get in the playoffs.
I love it. And then join with me once again, guys, is Scott Cobe, SJ Cobe 1 on Twitter. What's up, Scott? Let's talk sports.
Not much. How you guys doing? It's always interesting with Botkins, huh?
It all, man. Never ceases. Never ceases with that guy. So, Scott, happy to have you on the show here with us again. So, all right, guys. We got quite the show today. We're going to be talking about some NBA. And we're going to finish up with some Final Four and potential finals discussion for the NCAA portion as well. Because it is Final Four weekend. One of my favorite weekends, even though my Jayhawks are sitting at home watching it. I mean, what can I say? I had a great track record this bracket season. All four of these teams I had losing in the first round. So I'm looking pretty hot right now. So make sure you guys stay tuned and listen to me later.
Yeah, with that, I don't feel as bad as I did before because the great news is that K-State is also sitting at home and watching. So that makes me feel a little bit better.
All the Big 12 teams are. And we were so dominant. And so, once again, just underwhelming. So, anyways, guys, we'll get more college basketball later. Let's start talking a little NBA. Let's start in the East, guys. Currently, as we look at the rankings, Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, Cleveland, I've all pretty much solidified their playoff spots by now. Still a little work between the final couple there for the playoffs and the play-in tournament. I'll pull this up here while we're looking at it. I want to know your kind of guys, your thoughts here as we look at this list for standings. Do we see any change in the top four coming in the next week? It's what, 7 days, 8 days till the season ends? Or are we seeing that this is pretty much your top four? Top five, even. You can include the Knicks in it.
Yeah, I'll let you go first on this one, Scott.
I don't see any movement in the top five, to be honest with you. Celtics are trying to do their best to catch Milwaukee by playing some really good basketball down the stretch here, but I don't see it. I mean, could I see maybe New York catching Cleveland possibly on an outside shot? Big win for the Knicks last night against the Cavaliers. So I don't see it. I think it's going to stay the same, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it'll be an interesting matchup if you do see the Cavs versus the Knicks in that opening round. The Cavaliers should definitely win that series. I just think they have a better roster than the Knicks.
Yep.
But it could be one of those first round, you know, seven game series that is really close. But I'm with you. I don't see a whole lot of movement. I think we're set in stone in the top five. And then when you look at the play-in matchups, I do see the Hawks and the Raptors. I think those are the two best teams in that play-in tournament. And so I think that ultimately you'll see the Hawks get that number seven seed and the Raptors get the number eight seed. Because I just think you look at their strength of schedule, the Raptors and Hawks have had a lot more difficult schedule overall. And I just don't think the Miami Heat are going to make it into that seven or eight spot.
Yeah, I don't either. I see Brooklyn pulling away with that final, for sure in playoff spot. But I kind of agree with you. I think Atlanta, Toronto should win the play-in games, but I wouldn't be surprised if Miami and a Toronto or something like that comes out for the final two seeds. So because Atlanta's, I mean, all these teams in the play-in bracket have all been just inconsistent all year long. Yeah. You know, it's teams that shouldn't be inconsistent, honestly. You know, yeah, then you got Chicago there at the bottom. You talk about a team that's been, you know, underwhelming. That's a team that's been underwhelming. Do you think Chicago has any shot to win this play-in tournament?
I don't see even it.
Get one of the two seeds?
I don't see it. They've been so, so inconsistent. I mean, look at their record, 3 games under .500. I mean, it's just they'll play two or three really good games, and then they'll throw one or two stinkers in there, you know. So I don't see it. I think Atlanta, Toronto, I agree with you guys, are going to be the play-in winners. So,
yeah, Chicago definitely sucks. My biggest surprise is the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, can you believe that Mikal Bridges is averaging 30 points a game over the last month? Who would have thought? I don't think anybody could see that coming, and I certainly thought once they got rid of Kyrie and Kevin Durant, yeah, I thought they were going to tank, and they've been a pleasant surprise to watch ever since they made those trades, and they're going to end up being that sixth seed, and you know they're not going to compete probably with the Sixers in that first round, but you know, shout out to the Nets, man, because they've been playing, they've been some overachievers, I think, since the trade happened.
Big time. Yep. So Jason, your 1 through 8 is minus Miami. So basically Atlanta, Toronto getting the last two spots. Is that your 1 through 8 currently?
Yeah, pretty much. And the reason I like the Hawks so much, I like them better than the Raptors just because I like the additions that they made. I like that Sadiq Bey addition, who is shooting 45% from the field over the past month. He's only putting up 12 points per game, but he did draw a start last night with DeAndre Hunter out. So I like the additions that they've made. I think they're a little bit better team than the Raptors on paper. But I mean, ultimately, like, does it really matter, guys? They're both going to get throttled by the Bucks and the Celtics in that first round. But you know, yeah, I just like the Hawks a little bit better than the Raptors.
Scott,
yeah, I do as well. I mean, I would be not scared, but I'd be on watch with Toronto. Toronto some nights looks like the world beaters of the East. And then other nights they look like they're ready to just lay down and you know, give up. So it's just what Toronto team are you getting in the playoffs? You know, and Anobi's pretty good. Siakam is a handful for any team to deal with. So, you know, Toronto would be the team out of those four right now that would scare me the most in a first round matchup. So,
all right, cool. All right, let's move to the West, guys. As we kind of look at this division, a little closer on things, I believe. But obviously a lot of switches and stuff that's gone on. And we'll get to the play-in tournament here in just a minute here, how crazy this is. But yeah, Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, your top three. Phoenix, Clippers, Golden State, ran out your top six there. And then the play-in games, you got Lakers, New Orleans, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, with Dallas and Utah still sitting on the outside end. Jason. 1 through 6. Is this it? Is this how it is?
No, I'm gonna give you a little juicy hot take right about now. So I know it's kind of a best case scenario for the Lakers, but I do believe that it's possible. I think it's actually probable that the Lakers are gonna move up to number 5. And the reason I say that is because they don't really have a daunting upcoming schedule. They've got to play Houston, Utah, and then the Clippers without Paul George. And so I do have the Lakers moving up to that number 5 spot, playing the Suns in the first round. And the other reason I say that is because the two teams that are ahead of them right now, obviously you've got the Pelicans and the Wolves, which I'm not too worried about the Lakers being able to win that play-in tournament. But in terms of the Clippers and the Warriors, so the Warriors they've got to play at Denver, at Sacramento. We know how shitty the Warriors have been on the road this year. They have to play Oklahoma City. And then the Clippers have to play the Pelicans, Lakers, Portland, and Phoenix. So Warriors and Clippers do not have an easy upcoming schedule. The Lakers have, you know, a very doable schedule. They could easily win those next three games. Golden State, they are trending down for me because at this point, we got to assume that Wiggins is not going to play. I mean, even if they were to make, you know, that six seed, or somehow, you know, if the Lakers end up getting out of that play-in situation and the Golden State Warriors go into that play-in tournament, I mean, they're screwed, man. If Wiggins doesn't play, even if Wiggins does come back, he's not going to be in basketball shape.
Yeah.
And so I have the Warriors trending down here, and I have the Lakers trending up. And so I would be very disappointed if I'm a Lakers fan if they don't at least figure out a way to make it up to that number six spot. You know, you got LeBron James back. Anthony Davis is playing at an elite level right now.
Yep.
And I would say that the worst case scenario for the Lakers right now is to just end up with that number seven seed to win the play-in tournament. But those teams are so close right now, I do think you're going to see a lot of movement. And again, with the Clippers, it's all about the fact that Paul George is going to be out for the foreseeable future. He'll be back for the playoffs or the play-in, wherever they end up. But, I don't think Kawhi is going to be able to carry the load to be able to hold on to that number five spot.
Yeah, we're going to definitely come back to that Lakers Golden State situation. Scott, what do you got here for this top? I guess your top eight and through the playing game tournament as well.
Yeah, I agree with JG. I think Golden State is on the way down based on a 9-29 record on the road, 6-9 in the division. They're not playing really good basketball right now. I think they're going to get into that play-in tournament. My hot take is if the Lakers get out of that play-in tournament, they win the West. I think they're playing that good of basketball right now. And I think if Anthony Davis has his head on straight, they're going to be a tough out, tough to beat four games in the series. So I love the way the Lakers are playing now. LeBron had an off night last night. Anthony Davis carried him. Nights when LeBron has an on night, if Anthony Davis can score in the 20s and grab like 12 rebounds a game, the Lakers are going to win almost every game that they play. If those two guys are scoring in the 20s to 30. So I love the Lakers. I think Golden State is headed down, and I think they could even be passed by three of the four play-in teams right now, Minnesota, New Orleans, and the Lakers. So, you know, I just don't like the way they're playing. Again, the Clippers, Paul George is out. How healthy is he going to be in the playoffs? Nobody knows. So I could see the Lakers getting up to play Phoenix in that first round.
So any concern about this ankle tweak from last night with Anthony Davis for the Lakers?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I'm not worried about that at all. The one thing I will say about the Lakers is that I said that the best case scenario is to get into that five spot. Well, that's also the worst case scenario because they will get throttled by the Suns if that's their first round matchup. And so I actually think that they probably don't want to get the number five seed, but I think that if everything plays out the way that I think it'll play out,
yeah,
I think they will end up with a five seed and just absolutely get throttled by Phoenix.
Okay. That's fair enough. So let's take a look here. This is Golden State's rest of their schedule for the NBA season here. I didn't include today's game or whatever. I think they're off today. So I think it's Denver, OKC, Sacramento, Portland. Just four games that they got to win to be able to just stick at their spot here. Denver, be a tough one to win there. Oklahoma City is fighting for a spot. Sacramento trying to fight for a seed spot still. And then Portland, who's sitting, I think, Lillard for the rest of the year. So,
yeah.
Yep. I mean, we feel good about these four games for Golden State.
I feel good on one of them, Portland. The other three, I have serious questions about whether they can win them.
Yeah, so. I think that at Sacramento is the one that you have to get, because I think that they will beat Oklahoma City at home. I think they'll beat Portland. But I think they're going to get destroyed by the Nuggets. So I think that Sacramento game is the one that you have to get if you want to hold on to that number six spot. Because like I said, I mean, Lakers are probably going to win all three of their next games.
Well, here's the thing is we look at the Lakers schedule. They got five games to play. So they got Houston, Utah twice on the fourth and their final game. The Clippers, but the back-to-back as well in this mix for this final week. And then Phoenix on Friday night. Look, I think this is still a very winnable schedule. Houston's very winnable. Utah, you should be able to beat twice. The Clippers, you should be able to beat. And Phoenix, who almost lost to a starter-less Denver Nuggets team last night. I think Phoenix is very beatable still. I think the Lakers can push it to them if they're all healthy there on that Friday night game. So I guess what's your guys' thoughts here on this Lakers schedule? Do you think they could do enough here with these five games to surpass Golden State?
Conspiracy theory. If the Lakers are within a game of the five seed and Phoenix has wrapped up the four seed, does Phoenix sit guys to allow the Lakers to win that game to play them in the first round? Do they feel comfortable enough playing the Lakers in the first round? Just a thought. I don't know if they'll do it, but that's a thought. If the Lakers should beat Houston, they should win one of those two Utah Clipper games, if not both of them. So they'll have two out of the three wins that I'm saying. So it comes down to the Phoenix game, basically. And what does Phoenix want to do?
That's interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, if I'm Phoenix, I really don't want to play the Lakers in the first round. But, you know, it's kind of the same thing with the Lakers. I mean, they don't want to play each other. Both sides don't want to play each other in that first round. I think Phoenix would much rather take their chances against, like, the Golden State Warriors even.
Agreed.
But, yeah, that'll be interesting. I think ultimately, though, with this schedule, I think it's 4-1. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if everybody's available and playing, Phoenix will beat the Lakers in that game. But the Lakers, most importantly, will go 4-1 over that stretch.
Yeah.
All right. Time for JG's big breakdown here, and we'll get Scott's as well. Who's your top eight seeds official for the West?
All right. Well, I will give you Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, and Phoenix. I think those four spots are set in stone. And then I will go ahead and give you the Lakers. That was my prediction at number five. And then at number six, we'll go ahead and keep the Warriors there at number six. They might get lucky. And then for seven and eight, I am going to give you the Pelicans and the Thunder, because I'm totally out on Minnesota. And as you guys know, if you didn't listen to our last couple shows, I am totally out on Mavericks as well.
Yeah. What about the Clippers?
Clippers. Yeah, I did skip them, didn't I?
Yeah.
Let's leave the Clippers. Now, you know what? I'll put the Clippers at number six and I'll put the Warriors at seven.
Okay. So then the Warriors, do you have the Warriors coming out then of the play-in?
Yeah, and then let's take the Thunder. Gosh, that's a tough one. Do I want Thunder or Pelicans? I'll go with the Pelicans for now.
Kind of a flip a coin deal right there. What do you Scott, what do you got for your top eight?
I got Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix, the Lakers, the Clippers, Golden State. I say Minnesota grabs the next one, New Orleans. And as strange as this is going to say, I think Dallas beats Oklahoma City for that last play-in spot.
No way.
I think so. Hey, you know what? Somebody's got to cheer for, man, because that is the shittiest defense, man. And when you got two guys that are your basically two best players, and both of them shit the bed on defense every night. Like, that's pathetic.
It certainly is. And some either Dallas, Oklahoma City need to be fodder for the first play-in game to be blown out of the water. So let's let Mark Cuban get his shot at it and get blown out. So
I like it. I like it. All right, guys. Anything here final for the NBA takes as we go into the last week?
No, the only thing I'm looking at in the East is, can the Celtics catch Milwaukee for that one seed? And I don't know if they can or not, but they got a shot here. So,
yeah, I agree. It's not over yet. Those two teams are pretty even, but yeah, I think the Bucks ultimately they've got a lot to prove this year, and I think they want to get that trophy back. You know, now that they've got a full roster, and but yeah, I mean, it should be interesting for sure.
Yeah, because the Celtics made a big time statement the other night, winning by 40 at Milwaukee. So
yeah, they definitely did.
Yeah,
that was a big win. Yeah, big win.
That was
awesome. All right, guys, we'll transition here to Final Four weekend here. I know we don't normally talk college basketball on the show, but it's Final Four weekend. What are you
gonna do? It. You gotta do it.
So let's bring it in. Let's take a look here at the games today. On the screen, you're gonna see Fort Atlantic, San Diego State, Miami, UConn going at it today. It's looking like the Aztecs currently between Aztecs and Fort Atlantic. Aztecs are favored at -2.5. The over-under is at 131.5 for that game, guys. Who comes out of this matchup and why?
Boy, Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, first one to 60 wins that game, I think. So I love Florida Atlantic, but I think the ride ends here. I just think San Diego State's defense just gives them a massive advantage in this game. The other game, Miami. Boy, can they shoot the basketball or what? I'm going to go San Diego State and UConn. I think both Florida teams lose in this scenario.
JG, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm going to hit that over. That over, 131.5. This is kind of a tricky game here because I think everybody looks at that San Diego State defense and they think that San Diego State's going to win. There's a lot of money going on FAU right now, guys, and San Diego State is favored by 2.5. I do like the over here, and, you know, while San Diego State is an elite defensive team, I just think Florida Atlantic, they've got way too much depth. They've got 7 guards, and all 7 of those guards can facilitate the offense. I think they're going to wear down that defense of San Diego State. And the other thing about FAU is that they can totally shoot the lights out. You look at San Diego State's 4 tournament opponents have shot 17% from 3-point land. And I don't care if you have the best defense of all time, you're never going to hold 4 opponents to 17%. And so I think regression is coming for San Diego State. And honestly, San Diego State's offense is not really that good. No. And so I am going to take Florida Atlantic to cover. And I am also going to take the over 131.5. You can take either one of those as my easy money bets of the week. And again, I just think it's going to be a situation where San Diego State's just going to be worn down just because FAU has way too much depth. They've got, like I said, 7 guards and they've got 2 bigs that they can throw out there. Just a huge rotation. And I think San Diego State's just going to run out of gas.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. So I did a whole breakdown on my Whiskey Sports podcast channel, dropped Wednesday, guys. We talked about KenPom stats and kind of looking at stuff throughout the season as well. San Diego State, effective field goal percentage. They are 223rd best in the offensive production, but they're 20th best in defense. Meanwhile, Florida Atlantic out here is 25th best in effective field goal percentage on the offensive side and 15th best on the defensive side. And then Jason, you just brought up the 3-point percentage as well. 44th best in the NCAA is Florida Atlantic, and they're 70th best on the defensive side. Meanwhile, you do have the second best 3-point percentage defensive team with San Diego State, but they're 179th in 3-point percentage. They aren't meant to shoot the three. And if Florida Atlantic can get going from deep, this San Diego State's going to have a hard time having to deal with shot selection that Florida Atlantic gives themselves, the way they get open opportunities that we saw against K-State in that big matchup as well. I really think that Florida Atlantic is a more well-balanced team, has a little bit more fight on their side as well. And I think they come out. I think you got Florida Atlantic that comes out of this game overall versus San Diego State. So,
and I love, like you guys know, I love really great defensive teams.
Yes.
And I always root for them. But it's like I said, it's all about that depth on FAU. And I think the problem with San Diego State is just that they, while they're an elite defensive team, they rely on it heavily.
Yeah.
And that's basically their whole game. And you just got to be a little bit more balanced and well-rounded, especially when you get this deep in the tournament.
Yep.
I think also you hear this thing a lot about, I think the first 8 minutes of this game, highly important to see which team can run their style play better. If the score, the second TV timeout is like 11-9, and then I think San Diego State has imposed their will. But if it's like 21-13, Florida Atlantic's up ahead, then Florida Atlantic obviously has imposed their will. So it's very important to find out what these first 8 minutes are going to be like in this game. So,
yeah.
There's a lot of games, though, too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, again, that over-under, though, like, did you guys know that was actually at one point it was 136?
Yeah.
And now it's all the way down to 131.5. I think people just they overreact to that narrative that, oh my gosh, San Diego State, oh my gosh, nobody can score on that defense. And I just think the opposite thing is going to happen in this situation.
And
generally
people look at what happened the last time the team was on the court in 57-56 with Creighton. So everybody's like, oh, San Diego State can't score, it's going under. Well, guess what? Are they going to start slow? Probably. Why? Because the dome in the shooting background, they're going to need to get used to it in the first 4 or 5 minutes. But I think once Florida Atlantic and San Diego, especially Florida Atlantic, gets used to it, I think it's home on the range for them, and they're just going to light up from three. So
yeah, it's interesting because, you know, San Diego State has been the under almost the entire tournament, it seemed like. But we saw another similar matchup that we thought would be an under with Michigan State, K-State.
Yeah.
And well, then you get overtime ball and it's in the 90s and it's not under anymore. So I'm kind of not playing in the hands this time. I agree with the over. I think it's one of those deals, kind of trends that, hey, yeah, everybody thinks it's the under because, you know, like you said, they can't score very much. But then it turns into be the over in a really great game at the over as well. So that's kind of what I got there. Jason, who'd you have for UConn-Miami?
So UConn and Miami. So UConn is -5.5. I think you've got both teams with really great offenses. But the biggest issue for me in this game is Miami's defense efficiency is ranked 104th,
yep,
whereas UConn is ranked 11th. So assuming that both of these teams are even offensively, and they are rather close. I mean, they can both score very easily. I think the defense is what makes the difference for me. I think Miami's also going to get into foul trouble in this game, trying to deal with those bigs of UConn.
Yeah.
And the other thing to look at is the fact that UConn Huskies have been absolutely torching elite defensive teams in this tournament. They've played a couple of really good defenses and they've absolutely torched them. So I think my play in this game is going to be for UConn to cover that 5.5. Now that's not what I want. Like my dream scenario would have been both 5 seeds to play each other. That's what I wanted to happen. Cause I really love watching Miami. They are so fun to watch. They're super athletic. But I think the opposite here is what's going to happen. You're going to see a 4 versus a 9 in the championship game. And definitely UConn. I'm very confident in saying that they're going to cover that 5.5.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be okay with that. I mean, if you look at, like I say, KenPom again, I'm just going back to this here. Connecticut is the most well-balanced, efficient team currently in the NCAA, especially after this tournament run. This is a team that honestly did not play like they are playing right now at all during the Big East or anything like that. I did not like this team at all coming out, but they've showed each game that, hey, they're there to take care of business, and it's a different team. They've elevated their play. You know, they're third best in adjusted efficiency for offense, 11th best in defense. You can go down the way. They're all in the top 60, top 30 in offense. Like, it's dumb for this UConn team. Miami has a really high offensive team, but they cannot play. They can't play defense to the level that UConn's playing right now. I think that's where it's going to get them. I think UConn, I think this will be more of a blowout game than we all want it to be. I think UConn takes care of business early over Miami and just kind of runs away with it, unfortunately, because I don't want UConn to win. So,
no, I'd like to see the winner of San Diego State Florida win the whole thing.
Same. Who's your winner, JG?
I will give FAU a fighting chance. I mean, I think that I'm just kind of like falling in love with their depth on that team. Mm-hmm. And I think that they have the depth to at least put up a fight with UConn. I wouldn't necessarily bet on that because, as you guys know, we've never seen anything less than an 8 seed in the history of the game win the championship. So this would be a first time you'd have a 9 seed or less winning a championship. I would love to see it. And again, I think they've got the depth to pull it off, although it's going to be like a David versus Goliath matchup. I would definitely give FAU a puncher's chance in that championship game.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to see San Diego State UConn in the final game because
I think
UConn's going to blow them out completely.
Yeah, they would get throttled, dude.
It's going to be a 35-point game by halftime, maybe.
Oh, yeah. It would get ugly. It would get ugly.
Yeah. I would like to see Miami FAU, two Florida teams.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be great. Because I think you got two underdog teams. They'd be first time in the NCAA Final Four. And, you know, you got a new, fresh new blood, fresh new winner, and you got Florida Atlantic coming from Conference USA winning it. Or, you know, Miami from the ACC, who nobody picked at all. So,
right. Yeah, and I think everyone's getting tired of UConn because they have the most championships of any team in the last 20 years, I believe it is. So I think nobody wants to see them win, but certainly they're going to get they're going to make it to the big game on Monday.
Yeah.
So who's your main winner? Like, I know who we're rooting for. I mean, I think we're all rooting for FAU San Diego State, but who is your winner that actually comes out? That if you had to put a bet down, who is it going to be?
Oh, jeez. If I have to put a bet down, I'll go with UConn.
Okay.
But I will make my official pick. I'm going to go with Florida Atlantic to win the whole thing.
They're plus 900 right now, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great bet. I mean,
Miami's plus 500.
I need to go down to the casino and throw a couple of bucks on that.
If I'm going with my head to the betting window, I'm probably going UConn, even though I hope Miami wins tonight. I just think UConn could play slow down, up tempo. They are really good defensively. They got Sanogo inside that's really good, and they got the kid shooting from the perimeter that has woken up in the second half of the game. So even though I didn't pick him, I would pick UConn to win it.
UConn to win it.
But I agree with JG. I might throw a few bucks at Florida Atlantic to win this because I think they have the look of a team that could possibly win it all. So
gotcha. Big Kev out here. It's a Big Kev. He says, y'all hear about Manus getting benched on the UConn team? Did not, man. Did not hear about any of that yet. That definitely would hurt them. But, I mean, still a UConn team that's still very efficient. Ha 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 ha! I knew it was an April Fool's joke. I knew it was April Fool's joke. Hate this day. I'm like, I don't recognize that name, but I'm gonna go with it.
Did you watch the best player in the NCAA play last night in Caitlin
Clark?
Oh, that was amazing what she did against South Carolina.
Dominated. Love you, big game.
Yeah, on that note, I want to change what I said earlier. Anthony Davis, his ankle, he's done. He's out for the season. So
what?
I changed.
You just said it wasn't that serious.
Wait a minute. This is April 1st.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. My bad. It's April Fool's.
Oh, man. Make sure you guys go check out the Bakken show today.
Somebody online said Lamar Jackson just signed a 5-year, $278 million contract with the Ravens.
I think that was the official Twitter handle of Lisa Cole.
Yes, I think so too.
Out there reporting the big news today. Appreciate you, Lisa, as always, guys. Oh, man. All right, let's wrap this up here. I got April Fool's jokes to avoid and try to double check my sources now. Thanks, Big Kev. I'm looking. I mean, I'm literally searching. I'm like, I don't see nothing, man. Don't see nothing. So, all right, guys. Any final words?
No. Well, the last thing I'll say is the NBA is very smart because they only have 2 games tonight and 0 games on Monday night. Adam Silver, you're the best commissioner in sports right now, by far.
And I'm still going all in on Lamar to the Colts. That's what I want to see.
When? This is a question.
When? During the draft.
Draft day. Okay. I like it. I like it. All right, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you guys put your picks here for the finals below in the comments. We want to see it. Make sure you guys leave a like. Always follow here on Sports Buffoons and Let's Talk Sports. Everybody have a fabulous weekend. Enjoy the final weekend of NCAA basketball. But just know that right around the corner here, a week away, the playing tournament starts and NBA playoffs are here. So be ready. All right, guys. Have a great day. We'll catch you guys later.
Outro.